Let's welcome our virtual audience right away. Our wonderful global church. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
You know,
apparently I caught myself. I am wearing plaid, guys. Today I went to my closet quietly. My wife is doing her hair. She comes out and tells me, "You promised to wear plaid." And I said, "Oh, man, oh, yeah." So I had to wear plaid. So I said, I have to keep my promises, right? If I was able to wear plaid, you can walk into your calling. Okay, beloved, how are you feeling? Good?
Итак,
Wonderful. So,
семья,
beloved family,
серии, тем,
today we'll go into the final message of the series. I'll say, it's not even going to be a message. It's going to be more like a teaching. And then the seventh part in the series, I will describe seven steps in walking into your calling. I'll say this, I cannot speak about all. I took the most important ones for me, the seven, because I did not go through absolutely everything. I can only share about the things that I personally went through. And I'll say this will probably touch the lives of people because only the things that you personally went through in your life, that touches people. Everything else you heard or read about, it doesn't work. Just like it didn't work with you, it's not going to work with the one that you're sharing this with. So this is why I always say to people, share things that you went through. You want to talk about, you went through pain, talk about pain. You went through joy, talk about joy. If you went through it, you can write about it and speak about it, and it'll be a real lesson. Believe me, this is one of the keys of success. So, a series of messages, restoration of the DNA of a champion. First message, we've talked about people of honor. Number two is an invisible battle. Third is pain of the counterweight. Fourth message is turn off the world. Fifth message is destruction of limits. Sixth message is building material. And today, the last message, I called it simply beginning of the move. Maybe in the process there will be other moments, but I want to finish these Santa Barbara, this sitcom or whatever. I don't like this series that come and go and there's like millions of them. No, I want things to be clear and easily understood and for you to finish listening this till the end. So, the beginning of the move. Right now, an absolutely different generation is maturing and is raising up that will have to take responsibility onto their shoulders for the things that will happen in the church. I tell you this, my beloved church. One thing is to bomb religion and destroy that thing. The other thing, Jesus did not only speak against religion and went against them and was destroying those things. At that same time, he was raising up a different generation. That is why, beloved, I beg you, do not get stuck on attacks of some people. That is not important. Everything. What is important is to raise up the new generation. This is my dream. This is what I do. This is what we do in the global move. We're raising up the churches. We are training people. We're pouring ourselves into them. Everything that we have at the current moment, we give to them. And we do that only because not only we destroy things, but we also build up. One hand is destroying, the other hand is building new. That's the only way we can move. That is Jesus' principle and the principle of his disciples. So my desire, my personal desire is to help these individuals to enter into their calling. And for me, it will be a great honor if this, today's lesson, will help them to pass by some sort of wound or mistake along their way. So I tell you this, beloved. If someone in the beginning of my path with God would tell me at least half of the things that I'm going to share with you today, I would pass by many mistakes and pain along the way. Beloved, sometimes we go through things that we have to go through, but there are things that we should go through. There are wrong decisions, wrong wounds. We ruin the lives of other people. That's not what the Lord told us to do. Beloved, there are lessons that we have to go through, and today, these seven steps or seven categories or branches that I will talk about, this is the beginning of the move, the beginning of the walk of your calling, of your ministry. And I'll tell you this, beloved, I'd be very thankful, but I'm sorry. I had to experience all of this on my own skin, because where I was headed, all these leaders that were surrounding me, they could not discern things in me. They didn't see any of the giftings. They attacked me and cast me out. That's all they did with me. But I tell you this, I'm so thankful to God for these attacks, for the fact that they shunned me, because this is that made me who I am standing before you. If I didn't have those attacks or the pain, I needed those things. But there are certain things that we do not need to go through. And this is why this message is for the ones that are moving, the ones that are dreaming. I'll tell you this, if you're already in a process, right now you will just recheck yourself. You will see where are you on this path, how far are you, and all these steps.
They're all, it's all
for all people, not just in ministry, the ones that go to missions and build business. The seven categories that I will talk to you about, seven moments. They're needed for everyone who is moving anywhere. So, beloved. Number one, if you're writing it down, every one of these moments, it's a full message in itself, but I will try to be short and try to compact it, seven messages into one. So, the very first thing, how a move starts, move with a man, so write it down. It has to be purpose from God, or goal from God, or idea from God. Beloved, I beg you, we talk a lot about purposes and goals. It's not going to set you off track because of what I'm going to tell you right now. All of the problems of the new beginners, of the new ministers, it begins that at the beginning of their path, they've made wrong decisions. And then, no matter how you try to correct it, it is impossible. Beloved, I've figured it out. I've learned this lesson. Not just simply playing games. I had downfalls. I had to destroy everything that I started building at first. All my energy and strength and power and prayer and fasting were invested into the things that were destroyed. I want to protect you from these unnecessary losses of time. You understand? You need to acquire wisdom without the loss of time, so not to get into problems ourselves. For me, this was a very painful lesson. It was probably the priciest one, because I've figured it out. I've learned that you cannot do something because of emotions. You cannot start a move and through your enthusiasm. You cannot start a move when you have wonderful people around you and apparently you think that this is not a bad idea. Beloved, all of this will come to an end. It will fall apart, because only the things that He gives can remain on this earth and can exist. You with me? So I beg you, do not waste your life, do not waste years. And you're asking, what should I do if I started something wrong? Break it apart with your own hands. I beg you, do that, because when He will try to bring this down, believe me, it will be painful and it will be loud. So, beloved, I'll tell you this. I was hanging on till the end. I went through this lesson in the most wrong way possible. I was not letting go. I was battling with God. I was making mistakes, I was causing myself wounds, my wife, and everyone around me, only because I am a cleric, and everything that I started, I have to bring to an end. I could never start playing a game or watching movies that have many different parts to it, or reading wrong books, because I will want to finish it. That is the problem of a cleric character. They will not sleep all night until they finish it, something in their garage, for instance, or doing something else that they started. Okay? So that is why I say this, beloved. I beg you, hear me, please. Purpose from God, goal from God. So let's move on, and I will explain to you what I mean. How important is this vision from God? So, when purpose from God does come, it always points to your function. Many people battle in the body of Christ right now, currently, trying to find their function. If you don't have a purpose, you will not find the function. Do you know that you're battling to bake yourself a loaf of bread, but God tells you, I want to allow you, I want you to understand that you are a toaster oven. As soon as you figure out that you are the oven, right away, bread will start to come out of you. Baguettes. So in other words, we, many in the body of Christ, will try, they try to figure out who they are without figuring out the purpose and calling of God in their lives. Beloved, you have to understand that without this purpose, you will not figure out and find out your function. So when I was trying to chase here and there this purpose, that purpose, and God's like, I am directing you this way, and we usually ignore it. I ignored his voice. He says, son, I am leading you towards your function, to your purpose. To your name, I am bringing you to this, to that. No, God, tell me who I am. Why don't you do this? No, God, you tell me who I am first. No, you do it, and you don't know who you are. Once you figure, once you start doing it, you'll figure out who you are. When I was singing, I used to dance, try to play. It was horrible. I shiver when I remember it. But when I came on and took this place, and I understood, he says, son, go and say it. I said, no, who am I? I can't. I don't know. He says, go and say it. As soon as I stepped, and it was some sort of youth ministry, some sort of service. It was 90-something. I don't remember. I just came to God. I stood behind the podium, and without even preparing, I started speaking things that I was shocked by. And God tells me, Sonny, I told you, you should listen to me. You know, this barrier that the things that God tells you, it's quite a hard barrier to step through. Abraham, get up and go. And Abraham's like, no, I want to stay here in Ur Chaldean. He's like, no, get out and go. You understand, without the purpose from God, you will not find out who you are. That is why search for his purposes. Find the things that he tells you to do. Father, reveal to me your will. Father, tell me the next step. And that step will lead you into your function. So listen very carefully. When purpose from God does come, it will always point to your function, and that function in return will point to the identity. In the body of Christ, there is this epidemic. We do not know who we are. Masses are just sitting there. And it's quite easy to figure it out. I tell you this. Just stay there. Don't do anything, because everything that you'll be doing, you'll be wasting your time, your power, strength, your years, your nerves, and then you'll come back to that very same question, to that same zero where you started at, but now you'll be grayer, a little wiser, maybe not, I can't say that for sure. You'll go back to ground zero. So, purpose from God will point to the function, and the function will point to your identity, okay? All people try to do it. All of this, starting with the other end, they try to find their identity, then enter into their function, and then go into the purpose from God. You don't get it. With God, everything begins not with identity. At first, he shows Moses what to do. You understand? First, he shows David what needs to be done, and then purpose from God points to the function, and that function to the identity. And then when all of that went in that way, apparently they say, apparently David is the king. You understand? Identity comes that last moment. Many people try to do things vice versa. Don't, please, try to not to make a mistake. I did. Everything fell apart, and I came back to the zero. So, purpose. God, what should I do? Beloved, many of you receive this information of what to do from God, but we avoid it. Someone had this to, God told him to do something, maybe go somewhere, to knock on someone's door, and often it begins with obedience. One step. Maybe just spend some time with someone, maybe give something to someone, go there, and that way you open up this function. You say, whoa, apparently this is who I am, identity. You're with me? So let's move on. You cannot be moved through emotions by someone else's ideas and goals and things like that. You clearly have to know that God told you to do this. Remember, no other reason can be the beginning of the move or ministry. None of the ministry or missionary trips. You know what? God has to tell you this. Beloved, I want to hit this nail on the head. just check, recheck, and recheck. Just like with Gideon, dry here, wet here. Check a million times until you, Gideon, will know for sure that this is what God told you to do. Don't you dare try moving anywhere. Just check and check and check and check. Be sure. God's not going to be upset with you if you test him. He doesn't get upset, okay? He does not need deliverance from, holding a grudge to get someone. God doesn't do that. He'll give you so many confirmations as much as you need until you finally will be sure of it. First, Gideon received a word from the Lord. Then Gideon was doing certain things, remember? Do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. And in the process, he entered into his function and his identity. He did it. He was victorious. He did what he had to do. Look, it might take you half of your life. Some people say, I am wasting time. You'll waste twice as much time if right away you'll go the wrong way. How many of you pass by an exit by accident, and it's like, next thing you know, it's 15 miles to the next exit. Tell me how horrible that is. It's going the wrong way, knowing that you're going the wrong way, 15 miles extra, and then you have to come back 15 miles. Tell me how horrible you feel when you do that. You're not enjoying it. You're like, where's this exit? Where is it? And it's like 15 miles to the next exit. Beloved, this is how sometimes we behave and what we experience when we are on the wrong path, and sometimes you just have to go because you have to go through it all until you go through to an exit. And I say, the sooner you stop at the wrong with the wrong goals and you check and check if this is from God or not from God, that you'll become wiser and the quicker you walk into your true calling. Okay, look. So, even if it might take you half of your life, don't pay attention. Find that purpose and figure out with your Heavenly Father that this is it. Jesus was always saying, I only do what? The Father, my Heavenly Father does. In other words, here's Jesus. He's our example. He says, I don't do anything if I don't see the Father doing this. I only do what I see the Father doing. That's it. Here, great multitudes walking and crying, Lord, heal. I can't. Lord, come. I will not. Oh, you're so mean, Lord. You don't want to go there. The people are waiting for you here, and there's this great multitude right there. He says, no. He says, my Father didn't tell me to go there. Beloved, do you know that your feelings that you feel sorry for someone cannot conflict with the things that the Lord told you to do? You say, oh, I want to go and pray for these people. You don't understand. You're being hooked into the devil's hook. People might be dying around you, and if God did not tell you to do anything about it, just watch and bury. Some people say, I tell you this, people that do what I told you not to do, they will never go into big, great things. First of all, you have a chief, the one that commands it all, and you are a SWAT team in this army on this earth. You have no right to move anywhere if no one gives you the instruction to do so, because you will destroy this mission and destroy yourself, and God again will have to raise up someone else and then another guy and another warrior, because someone felt sorry for someone and started doing things that they were not called to do. So I beg you, just turn off your emotions when it has to do with ministry, with God, to people. You are doing those things. You are doing these things without all these emotions that he told you to do. If he told you to destroy things, break things apart, you do it. He told you to heal, you heal without all these emotions. Have you ever thought of that? You're always, oh Lord, please, help me, you know? And God's like, did I ask you to do it? Why are you crying? Because you don't know the will of God. This is why you're crying out, oh Lord, what should I do? What if this is the will of God for him to be by himself? Or, for instance, this is that function of that person. And on heaven, before he was born, they decided with God that he wants to be sick or in some any way paralyzed, and that's how he's going to minister to people on this earth. Hello? Are you with me? Oh, you know what? We really don't know anything. We base ourselves on our feelings and emotions, and we go astray. When an order comes from the Lord, that's when you have to be obedient, okay? So, number one. Let's move on to number two, because I could get stuck on number one. So, did you receive something for yourself from the step number one? Okay, I beg you, please understand this. I could turn this into a whole message and give so many revelations, but that's not what I'm going to do. I have to go through all the seven. So, number two. Second step. And I'll say this. Second moment. It is disconnection. If you're writing it down, write it down. Disconnection. It is complete exit from the old. Jesus said, new wine is not poured into the old wineskins. I beg you, everyone that thinks that they will, God will use them and partner with them in those things where you are in the old horrible things, I want to give you this Bible statistics. No one was used by God, everyone, beginning with Moses, finishing up with John, on the island of Patmos, everyone was brought out of their old things. God is searching for new. Beloved, listen. Complete exit from the old. One of the biggest confusions people teach is that you can remain in the old and at the same time enter into the new. That's a lie. I'll tell you here, the ones that are here, you've taken your steps, but I'm also speaking to the ones that hear and see me. You will die trying to do something in the Ur Chaldean. The Lord says, I am leading you into a completely different place. Why? Because you are moved by motives that are wrong. You should be moving by this one thing, which is obedience to God. When God does raise up someone, he takes them out. He will not take you out if he will personally tell you, you have to remain here, you have to stay here, you have to do certain things here. But I'll tell you, that has to be a real revelation from God. Because when I open up my Bible, I did not find that everyone was taken out. All the prophets, disciples, they said, Jesus, we've left everything. They came up to Jesus and said, we left everything. And he said, do not worry. You did not lose anything. So, there's this confusion is that, or false teaching where you can stay in the old and still walk in the new. People usually say this. Oh, he tells everyone to leave their churches, to get out of them. He tells everyone just drop everything, betray him, run away. No, I say this. If you want to be used by God in this old swamp where you were before, I seriously doubt that anything is going to happen there. Why? Because you are in a structure where you are a pawn. You are used, they control you, and if you do have a dream from God, then you always have to go through votes, their votes, their approval, for them to allow you something. And even if they do allow you to do something, you will still be with some sort of compromise, with some sort of bribing. You cannot move the way that you want to move. Listen. Here, I'll say this. It's a lie, and it's Satan's trick. Just because you don't want to depart with the old, Satan was able to stop masses of individuals that had to achieve something great and powerful in their life. How do you find that out? Everyone that sits on benches and in their chairs and they cry about the new things, those are the people that have to be taken out. You will never get the spirit of discouragement if you are in your place. If you are in your surrounding and you feel that this is not your cup of tea and you feel horrible, you know what? This is a time to come out. The river's dried up. Get up, Elijah, and move. I have prepared for you a different place. The river's dried up. Yeah, there was, but it's done.
Okay?
It's all gone. Base yourself on the old things. Even the copper snake used, or serpent used to heal as well, remember? So, to leave the old is not always to leave the bad. Because some think that to leave the old things is something bad. Stop. Often to leave the old is the comfort, the things that you've paid for, wonderful people, community, well, you will always remain a wonderful person, but you will never achieve anything in your life.
Because
on Fridays, you hang out with Sergey. On Wednesdays, you hang out with these guys. On Thursdays, you do this. Everything is under control with you. And God cannot cannot get through to you. And when God wants to do something, he tells you, get up, Joseph. What is it? You know what, Joseph? You'll have to go soon. I don't want to. And he's like, I'm not asking you. I will make you go.
I like seeing these dreams
in my father's house. I have this colorful robe. Show up before my brothers. You know, everything was cool. He was taking care of. Older brothers were working, but Joseph was a favorite one. He says, no. Sonny, I showed you these dreams not so that... to explain to you that it's going to happen here. No, I showed you dreams, and I tell you, get ready, I'm going to lead you. You know, sometimes we don't go. God, like, pushes us. That's how I call it. So, with me, God was pushing me. I didn't want to go. I say, God, thank you for pushing me, because I was not going to go. So, they will make you go.
Оставить старое это не всегда плохое.
Зачастую to leave the old is not always bad. Often it's comfortable, wonderful place. Beloved, beginning with that same guy, Moses. He was so comfortable in the Pharaoh's house, isn't it? So David, did he really need that? He was an awesome shepherd, playing music, enjoying his life. David was not even trying to go anywhere. They'd always take him out. He's like, what do you need? We're going to anoint you into the king. What, you can't anoint the king without me? No, we can't. Come here. They anointed him, and then he goes back into the field. David, come back from the field. We need a musician. What, you don't have a musician? No, we need an awesome musician because the king is sick. Okay, you understand that a man with a calling, they'd always be calling on him, and he'd be pushed to go. Okay?
Look.
So, don't think the old is bad. Some of you, you have to part ways with comfy, wonderful things, people, your comfortable place, business, house, whatever. Could be many different things. But this inside of you, you cannot lie to it. When it draws you, it's not asking you, and you can't vote in it. God's just going to draw you in, and even if you will hang on to something, I'll say you'll be the most sorry being on the planet Earth. Because you will be able to hold on to the old, but on the inside you will not be able to change that feeling. You will just rot from depression and despair and pain, because you have to do something else, but not this. You will be dissatisfied. You will never be happy, but the Bible says it is a great honor to be what? Happy and content. To be happy, that's a spiritual thing, I'll tell you. To be happy is not that you just like slept with your wife, bought a new car, got some ice cream, whatever. That's all nonsense, okay? This is all enjoyment of this earthly kind of thing. But true happiness and enjoyment is really spiritual. Happiness is this thing that comes and never leaves. So, you have to be blessed and happy at all times. So beginning with Moses, finishing up with disciples of Jesus, everyone left the old to go into the new. Okay, we get it, right? Okay, let's move on. Time is running out. I have some unique moments still. Number three. Being independent. Independence. Are you ready? Independence. Here, Christians or people that have been called by God to do something, they make huge mistakes right here. So let me explain what is independence. Remember, you depend only on God. We nod yes, we say amen, but we totally ignore this. Listen. So, do not search for something, for someone. God with time will give you what you need, who you need, and when you need it. You understand? I beg you
not to sit down. Не пытайтесь собрать музыкантов, певцов,
try to gather musicians, singers, businessmen, prayer warriors, financial people. You do not need that. You'll say, I need it. I have a church. No, listen, you do not need it. When it will be required and needed, it will be next to you. And you'll have so much of it, there will be a line for this position. Beloved, listen. This is where the devil catches people, you know, playing with this need. Beloved, when a man start, or a woman starts moving, no matter what it is, beginning with business, finishing up with missionary trips, opening up churches, it doesn't matter. You always will have a need in someone and in something. So here is this danger beginning dependent on people, on their blessings, on their approval, and their orders, and what you do, you sell yourself little by little to each and every one of them. At the end of it all, God no longer has you. You have been bought here and there. This guy gave you a building, but he attached his butt to it. This guy gave you sound equipment and gave his butt. You know, you got to do this. This one says, I'll sing, I'll preach, and I'll help you. But everyone has their tag. Everyone has a price tag. And you sold yourself. At the end of it all, you say, I have a church. No. Church has you. You with me? And then when you say, brothers and sisters, I think, and they will get up, the ones that have you, tell you, you know what, when you think something is going on, you need to go and pray. And when you will want to say the truth from the podium, quickly, quickly, the ones that do have you, they will place you back in your place. And you will say, I no longer play in this church. I no longer want to hear this. I no longer do this. Little by little, everyone left. And you're saying, Lord, what is that? And this is what I told you. You don't need to be dependent on people. Start right away. Start what he told you. Do not wait for anyone, ever, anywhere. You do not need money. You don't need people. You don't need any of that. You need God and his will. If you really, really want to make it and not just be this pretty this thing before a camera that pleases everyone and says what everyone wants to hear.
Okay.
So, independence. Very important aspect. Do not search for help. Everything that happens in the beginning, all the hardships, all the things, you have to go through them yourself. You have to go through lack. You have to go through pain. You have to go through a need here and there to learn to treasure these things, to understand how precious all these things are once they do come to you. And that's not something that you know, agreed on something with other guys. But when they do come to you, maybe it would be three. It's not because you brought them, but because God told them to be there with you. And they will never leave. You're with me? So you have to go through all of that. Right now we're talking about a pain that is a needed kind of pain. Let's move on. Go through this stuff and pass all of this. What do these things bring up in you? They bring out the heart of a champion. People look and say, wow, if he moves like this without finances, imagine what could happen to him when he will be blessed financially. Beloved, maybe you have 3.5 people around you, but they have to see your true heart, your dedication. And when they look at that, they'll say, wow, we're with you till the end. God brings these champions together. We all come together according to our DNA. The cats do not exist amongst dogs, and birds do not fly with dogs. So look at this. If you are surrounded by cats, you're a cat. Do not say, Lord, what is this? This is just all these cats around me. Why is it everyone traitor and they're so disgusting around me? Meow. Go away. you will gather yourself around yourself, birds of the same feather, okay? If everyone wants to use you, that means you kind of want to do the same thing, so be very cautious. Look.
You're receiving something for yourself. These are all lessons. It's not really like a preaching. It's like a teaching. We have to finish this series of messages with a bam, okay? Seventh message, and there are seven steps in it. Okay, look. So,
if you will not go through all of it in a proper way, you will be weak and unknowledgeable in many different questions. You know how I love pastors? In the covenant right now, we're working with many pastors. You know how awesome it is to be with people that they can film services, they can post things on the internet and run their websites and write messages. I know that and understand maybe you shouldn't be doing all these things, but I know that these people never give up. They say, God, I'm waiting for people to come and will take this place, but I will not allow someone pervert the DNA of this church. It's better for a CD player to play than something to be played on stage is just going to be horrible and sells his CDs right after. Be very careful. You know? Never mind. Let's just stop talking about it because I'll probably say a lot. How many worship people or leaders try to knock on our doors with their motives? Oh, Lord, have mercy. If you will not go through this, you will be weak and you will be under control and manipulation because anyone that will come with talent, they will manipulate you. People with talent, they will control you. They'll say, you understand? How I am so tired of these leaders and pastors and ministers, whoever, even in business, they come and say, you know what? You understand? And they allow themselves whatever. This is where elites groups are made. They come whenever they want. They do whatever they want because everything is allowable to them. No. There's one structure. There's one rule. If you're doing something wrong, you will be dealt with. There are no priorities. They're not given to anybody. God has called this church until the end of your life. You will only hear what God is telling you. You're not going to do your rules and create your group that will do the things that you want to do. Often pastors get caught with this under this pressure because in the very beginning people came together and they didn't have wrong. They have wrong motives, wrong heart. Everyone came. It was like you came to cut the piece of the pie, and they came to cut the piece of the pie, and it's just a whole bunch of, it's like a church of people cutting pieces of the pie. Be very careful if you're in surrounding like that, okay? God has to place people onto every position, and only Him. You will be under control and manipulation because you will always lack something. Every pastor, every leader, every minister of the home group, of prayer group, whatever, or evangelist, right away they have to say, I don't need anything. Should I help you? No, I don't need help. If God needs to help, or needs me to have help, someone, you will come and ask. Beloved, when God gives people, He gives them to you. And it's not you asking around and please come and help and play. No. You're building yourself upon them. Soon they will build themselves upon you. Be very careful when you get vultures around you because soon their appetite will be wet. So be very careful who you gather around yourself in your move. I'd like to name names, but God does not allow me. Yeah, I was brought up this way, person of honor. Otherwise, I'd show you examples. But let's move on. God for real can use only independent people. Again, remember this. This is a very powerful statement. God can use and be partners with the ones that are independent. The dependent people have to receive approval from the people that they are dependent upon. God can only use you at 100% only if you're independent. That is why He needs to, in the
the Bible, practically everyone had to be taken out of their surroundings. Otherwise, it'd be dependent on whatever it is, Egypt, from mom and dad, from their friends, people. God has to take them out, place you, and making you independent at that.
So, God can only use those that are totally dependent on Him.
Remember David, Joseph, Hannah, all of them were dependent only on God. Let's move on.
Time.
Number four, being uncompromisingly righteous. Are uncompromising. There are so many compromises in the body of Christ. I'm just shocked by it all.
Sometimes I just come and I'm like completely out because of the things that I see happening.
Listen, don't you dare go and do some sort of compromise with people that give you something in return. Do not allow the spirit of this religion or this age to kill you. You hear me? A man is this being that does not want to go the hard way or the hard path. Even when we sit in the chair, we pick the most comfortable position for us, no matter what it is that we do. Subconsciously, in the house, in the restaurant, you pick this position. You sit the right way so that it's as less discomforting as possible, whatever it is, beginning with the temperature in the building, finishing up the way that your seat in the car is positioned. It has to do with all areas of your life. Listen, that shouldn't be like that in the calling of God in your life. So, being not under anybody's, not doing any compromise, choose to go the hard path, because only that decision will make you a true champion. Have you ever seen champions that go to a gym and chooses the most smallest and the light weights? He goes to the gym and he goes onto the treadmill and he turns it on this way that he doesn't run, but the machine runs him. You know what? Just get off, walk. It'll be more useful than this treadmill that is making you run. Those the ones that are laughing are probably the ones that will used to do that. You are trying to catch up to that machine. Beloved, tell me, people never become champions like this. I've never seen champions that way. You know, a champion chooses the most hardest jump, biggest run. If this is like a cyclist, he goes all the way to the top into the hard things to train his legs so that when he does go cycling, he will just really have stamina. If he's a weightlifter, he lifts the maximum weight. So I tell you, amongst all the hardest paths, choose the hardest. Pray? That means to pray this way like no one prays. If you're going to fast like no one fasts. At least you've never seen anyone yourself to fast this way. Conquer yourself. Go further. Hello? Listen. Often, when a man has a calling, he or she, first of all, as a rule, people want to buy you. They want to buy you. I lost count how many times someone tried to buy me. Beginning with the ones that are holding TV channels that I used to be on, and finishing up with regular people that would just enter through these doors of the church. But you understand, this, your sword is so radical. Get rid of the sword and make it into a cross. It'll be more Christian. I say, you know what? Get out. Go and make your own cross. You know what? Beloved, you don't even understand how much crap I had to go through and clean it all out. Because apparently they think that if I will stand this way, will speak like this, it will be success. If I will make cross out of this sword, why does anybody even care? It's a sword. Jesus showed me a sword. This logo is from my vision. When I was in my trance with Jesus, he said, by the word you will conquer. The word of God is the sword. This is why I have a sword right here. It's not just because I want to show off and I painted this or I drew the sword. It was shown to me in a vision. Transformation center through the word. The sword, okay? It's illogical, get it? I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm drawing. And the way that I speak, it's on purpose. This is me. I have to do it this way. I'm not playing a role. If I'll start, you know, proper, have proper messages or proper speech, it's not me. It's going to be going against me. You don't want to see a fake up here, right? Of course not. Look, so, when you start growing, someone will want to buy you. Usually a young believer comes in and does something from his calling, prayer, preaching, and singing, whatever, and all of a sudden, people come, I call them gardeners. They're going to go, and they're going to say, allow me to prune this garden. I have to do it, you know, you have to look the right way. Don't do this. And if you are a person that is still not mature and you care about his opinion more than the opinion of Christ, you will allow him to prune you. In other words, we've talked about this before. Remember about stones that have to be not chiseled when they were building the temple? You know what? When they do that to you, you lose your individuality. You become like everybody else. And then no one ever needs you, just like all the other thousands that were there before you, because that brother made you right and proper. They got rid of this individuality that you had, and they took away your identity. They erased you. So I'll say this. Do not be afraid ever to lose something, because whatever is yours, you will never lose it, ever. Again, I'll tell you this. Jesus turns and tells his disciples, how about you guys? Do you want to leave as well? Over there, he just said a word and 70 disciples just left. Right away. Left. Guys, where are you going? We're still in the middle of a service. Who can possibly hear these words? And here he turns to the other ones and he tells them already, how about you? Do you want to go too? Oh, might as well, while they're going, while there's chaos, you can kind of, you know, slip out as well while we're still dealing with them. And they're like, what? Are you serious? We're with you. Beloved, do you know that I've noticed this? Move in your calling. Do not be afraid to lose anyone. If you're moving in your calling, you're afraid of losing someone. You are splitting yourself in two. If you're moving in your call, the Lord will send to you those that will move with you for real in this one calling, you understand? And that is why I tell you this. When we are in the center, you don't walk around and say, under Andre or under this person. No, we are going together. We have the same goal and purpose for this generation to raise up. And God, every one of us know our function, but we are going towards one purpose and goal, okay? Of course, someone started first. At this moment, it was me. Yeah. Centers started with me. But when you come up, the next generation does come up. They have the same goal, same dream. You are not taken over by my dream. Lord, have mercy. I could just attract you with something, but the revelation, you have to receive it from Him. You have to be moved by God, okay? Do not allow anyone to buy you because you need something, okay? Be without compromise. Be the one, that person that does not have compromise. Remember Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not go to compromise, and as a result, achieved great things. But notice that the most hardest path or way, I always say, choose that one. Which one? Here's the situation.
here they've built this idol. You know what, beloved, in our life it always happens this way. At your work, amongst your friends, started doing something, the things that you're not doing or don't want to do. And here's the situation. They've created this idol, they built it, and here they say, everyone has to bow down. Everyone bows. And here's these guys. Of course they'll be visible. You know what they did at that moment? They chose the most hardest way possible. You understand what it is to choose the hardest thing? That is the hardest path. And they said, the king comes up to them and says, guys, I love you, but because I love you, I will give you a second chance. In other words, they'll come up to you and say, I understand that you have principles, but I tell you this, they will want to buy you. They say, we understand that you have all these principles and all these things that you believe in. They came up to me, you understand? We broke people, and not just like you, we broke even harder ones. You know what? We've dealt with other ones as well. Believe me. And when the king Nebuchadnezzar says, again, we will play the music, it's all for you guys, everyone's going to watch you. Everyone's watching me. I don't know, everyone. The ones that were bowing, now they're going to be watching you. And what does Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego say? They say, king, don't now play this music. We tell you right away, we're not going to bow down. He says, you will. You will go into the fiery furnace then. You know what? They chose the hardest path out of all the paths to choose. Beloved, this is the path, the way that will bring you. You think you'll be death. Listen to this. From a person that went through the furnace, right here. When you will come out of it, all the attention will be on you. You survived. You made it. You came out. And now you have the right in the spirit to teach and to train. Why? Because even the king, when these guys came out, he fell down on his face, asked for forgiveness, because he understood. You should be friends with these guys. And what happens? He says, the one, if anyone ever says anything bad towards these guys or their God, that's it. We're gonna kill you, destroy you, burn your house down. You understand? Beloved, this is the hardest way. Here's Daniel, and here's this decree that everyone should worship the king this day. You know, he's like, oh yeah, his brain was off back then. And all of a sudden they catch Daniel. Out of all the paths, he chooses the hardest one. He goes and prays to his God like he did it yesterday, and he did it always. They're watching him through binoculars. They're filming everything on the camera. Oh yeah, oh yeah, we got him. We got him. They filmed everything. They posted it on YouTube. They came and told the Nebuchadnezzar, here's the thing. Here's the proof. He is worshiping and not you. What does Daniel say? He says, not a problem. They put him in the lion's den. He kind of rested there. They took him out. And everybody else went down into that den. Beloved, you have to understand that the hard road or hard path is to take away the things that were preventing you. And you got to be a champion to go through a furnace. Some people say, why is it so hard? Because that decision can only be made by the ones that have been born for this. And I beg you, do not give up. Do not retreat and say, God, why is it so hard? If it was not hard, everyone would be there. Any snake would get in there and be there. But God says, only the ones of pure of hearts will go into that furnace and will come out of it. Champions. Only the pure of hearts will come out onto the field with Goliath, and Goliath will die, and not that person. Only by having the heart of a champion, you will go into the lion's den and you will come out of it all rested, and you will not have any problems, only because, again, I tell you this, you do not need anything.
Continuing, number 5, discernment. Almost done. Of course, I'm going over my time. So, discernment, number 5. In the beginning, and so, to not get under covenant with anyone, just anyone. Don't begin your walk with individuals who have talent or certain ability and have the wrong motive, the wrong heart. Consequently, they will come to corrupt you. Again, discernment. When you begin your walk, as a wolf. Remember those who were around David? Those who were hurt, left, abandoned. In other words, criminals. The most interesting part is that in one moment, these criminals almost didn't stone him. When they said, they took our wives, burned our homes, took our children, we will kill you. So, beloved, I will say, David didn't come under covenant with them. Wanted to or not, everyone will come towards you. You have to be very careful with who you step under covenant with. But what's unique is that from all these people, he walked under covenant with only 30. Out of those 600 of people going into the history of the Bible, there were those individuals who he stepped under covenant with. So you have to be discerning well. It's better to be by yourself than step under covenant with those who are unclean and get dirty yourself. It's better to be with one person or to be completely by yourself than live a life like that. And then those people, when they become your friends, they will persuade you to their gods and to their characteristics. And you will start to compromise. And this will become in any aspect of your life, starting with finances to maybe adultery to pride. And you will begin to see that you are turning into the surrounding that is around you. I can have whoever around me, but I will only step into covenant with those who God chose me. Yeah, you can be friends with anybody, high bye, but I only allow people to come into my life who God places there. Yeah, you can be friends with anyone, but do you know what the difference is between being friends or allow them into your life? It means that they know your pain, they know your problems, and your family problems, or your children, anything super intimate, when you allow that person to come in. That's why you have to be very careful who you talk to and what you talk about. This lesson came with pain with me, through pain for me. My wife knows this. Through my kind heart, I allowed such things to come into my life just because I was nice to them. Beloved, if you just get this one lesson, I will be thankful to God for the rest of my life. At least this. And you will not allow people to come in. And no person will come with all of their problems, and you become part of the baggage. You get influenced with the same cockroaches as that person is because you allow them to come in, and they corrupt you with their problems and their hurt. And look, a couple years ago you came to church happy, but now you are completely exhausted in the spirit because you lacked wisdom and discernment and allowed snakes to come into your life. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Trust me. This point, I went through this lesson harshly. Believe me, there was a time when I let everybody in. How are you feeling? Good? I'm teaching. I don't have problems. I will hit hard. I will punish you without emotion. Then I'll give you a hug. Don't worry. It's all good.
Okay, хорошо. Движемся дальше. Время не
мало. Moving on.
Итак, не входи в завет с кем попал.
Do not walk under covenant with anybody, because in that process, these people will harm you or corrupt you. In the beginning of movement, everybody needs support, physical, financial, in prayer. What if you allow a person to come in who doesn't want to get free, and he just pours out to you and corrupts you, and give him one chance, second chance, and he just doesn't want to. So you get up and you walk away from this union. Yeah, if you give them an, kind of an ultimatum, either you go and you get healed and get free, or we're over, because I will not allow you to poison me. And so, in the beginning, everybody needs support, financial, prayer, anything. But the devil usually uses this moment of movement and sends those who in the process will manipulate you and corrupt all that you've built. In the beginning, people come into your life and like, yeah, they're a part of your life, and yeah, they are supportive, but very rarely do you have those who are genuinely wanting to be that and who will stick with you till the end. And that's why I'm asking you, when you step under covenant with someone, it's not just like, oh yeah, we're good, but what it means is that I allow somebody to come into my life, personal, my financial life, my fears, my needs. I allow them to enter into that. And be very careful when you do that so you don't lose respect and authority. Because many times in the process that you do lose those things. That's what I'm saying. Discernment is an aspect of wisdom. Be wise in that who, when, what is around you. Keep moving on. Be very careful and discerning who is around you, because not all those who are in the beginning want the same that you do. Remember Judah. I remember. Remember Paul, who's sitting in prison, and says, Tim, I'm writing to you. Please, don't leave me, at least you. Everyone abandoned me. Explain to me, how can this happen? But like this, be very careful who you allow to be close to you. And he writes, that one abandoned me, that one backstabbed me, that one went into adultery, that one completely rebuked everything in Scripture. And in this, he pours out the pain of his heart to Timothy. Beloved, I say one more time, be very wise and discerning who's around you. Listen to me very carefully. Because as soon as you do that, you can't go back. When you open the gates to a person into your life, be very wise, because when you let them in, you're unable to take away from him what you showed him, what you told him, what you gave to him. That is why I say, when someone has the privilege to knows more than just general public around you, count that as a privilege and an honor of letting someone into your life. And be wise when you're doing that. And in the same way, when you are entering someone else's life, be very careful, because everyone has pain. Because maybe soon enough you will need help just like you are helping them. Moving on, number six. Number six, we're finishing up. Do not seek perfection. In the beginning, everyone wants those who are righteous. You're starting a group of your own. What kind of people do you want on your group? We all have small groups. What kind of people do you want? Those who are obedient, who are anointed, awesome, and additionally to be friends with them. You know, everyone's looking for people like that. You're not the only one who looks for them. And so, in the beginning, everyone wants those who are righteous, perfect. But in the beginning, they're not there. Listen carefully what God showed me. Begin to move with those who are obedient and those who are committed enough. There are those who are ready, or those who are ready enough. That's why I say that in the beginning, you go through a test when you need to become that yourself. In the very beginning, when your group is forming, This isn't you are collecting them, but God looks at you, at your heart, at your motives, whoever you invited, who do you want to be with, who's around you, who are you allowing, how are you consistent and strong, how much do you not pay attention to, how well do you keep your word. Look. And so I will say, professionals do not wait for ideal situations. They use and utilize those circumstances that they're under. Jesus used his disciples when they were not completely ready and made so many mistakes. You know, example of Jesus Christ. He wasn't sitting and waiting. Okay, we're going to wait until you are fully righteous. As soon as he called them, he gave them assignments right away. Some things they did well, some things they didn't. Sometimes they cast a demon, sometimes demons didn't go anywhere. And Jesus came and said, okay, guys, what's up? Oh, demons aren't leaving, God. And I remember Jesus had a moment where he questioned that. He demonstrated to them what needed to be done. And it is an example of how the disciples were not perfect as they followed Jesus. So you're never like a leader, even in small group or even in business. You cannot find right away individuals who are right away obedient and perfect. You find ones that are almost. For the time being, that's enough. I remember our first encounter, what we started with. Sveta's here. Who else went through the very first encounter we had? 1, 2, 3. Some of them were leaders. Who were the leaders during the encounter? Mom was there. She was a leader. Only her? I thought we had more. See, my point is more serious, I'm trying to make. There were 8 leaders, and only one is left, my mom. What does this mean? No, you were in the kitchen. No, that doesn't count. First encounter, mom and Svetlana were in the kitchen. Because I didn't let them lead encounter because they didn't go through it. I didn't let them. I said, go make macaroni. I remember when my wife and my mom made macaroni because I didn't let them. I said, when you go through encounter, then you can serve. Can you believe it? Right now I'm standing before you and say to all of you who hear me, not one person was here from that team that went through that we had our first encounter. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't use people who were righteous. I used ones that were obedient enough. You said they're not here, but they are not here, but we are. Beloved, I'm telling you, like a professional of my, I used and utilized what I had access to. See, right now, those people, I'm not judging them. I was thankful to God that I had somebody by my side at that time. That's what I'm saying. Don't think that those who start out with you will end with you as well. In my situation, those who started with me, none of them will be left. Unfortunate, of course. I would like to see at least one. But oh well. What does this mean? This is my point. Don't look for perfection, but begin. Do not worry. Don't seek that in your business, in your job, in your small group. Don't look for that. God, when are you going to send those who pray and the intercessors? Who is this person? Oh, this person just drinks tea. Well, drink tea and pray. Start with them. Understand? And so, one more time I'm going to say this. Professionals do not wait for ideal situations, but they utilize what they have access to currently. Last point. Protect your heart. You know, at the end of this large topic, everything concludes with one, is your heart. Beloved, the problem is usually starts when a person has enough money, success, results, fruits, when he is around people who are completely obedient, when you have enough of everything. You know that no person starts out wrong. I didn't see God's general, not one starting out bad, but a couple of them finished bad. Not just bad, but very bad. And this moment, I just want you to comprehend, and I will conclude. Remember David at the time when he did not go to war or to the battle. Did you notice that David didn't have problems when he was running, having attacks, nightmares, before death situations? David was at his peak. But the problem of the human heart begins when everything's conquered, you have authority. I'm saying this in the future. Right now, I pay attention to my heart. Some people, thousands of testimonies we get here. Some people, it's hard to listen to testimonies from me that I'm praised because my heart is completely straight. Reaction. Zero. Just like when I am negatively spoken against, and Pastor, we love you, you're great, same reaction. Goodbye, okay, this is awesome. I'm not interested in that. And this element, when in your life, because of success flows praise and certain moments of movement where you are respected and loved and cherished, here is where this is most dangerous position to be in. The most danger comes when you become calm from running, from you settle from your battles and your attacks, when many things are already conquered. That is when the most difficult things start, because a person now has much free time. Before, he was fasting and praying, interceding, and he was everywhere. But then a moment comes where the true test of your heart begins. The test of your heart begins not when you feel bad, but instead when everything is great in your life. But if you don't keep your heart, it starts to look at the wrong things, desiring the wrong things. Remember David, same story. Here's an example for you. David is the king of Israel, conquered all. And Bible said when kings went to battle, David stayed at home. Why did he stay at home? Because the army was like more than enough. Because he had thousands on his team. So he's like, why do I have to go? I can just stand here and relax. And he was so relaxed that for the rest of his life, he was paying for that. He had, you know, his kids were dying and kids were attacking kids, and so many curses started from there, from the wrong action of his heart. That is why you should protect your heart. And so, problem of many starts because they forget who they were. Write it down, draw it for yourself, anywhere, on your phone, on your fridge, make a tattoo, I know who I was, anything, whatever, write it everywhere, you see, I know who I was, never forget who you were, even when God takes you so far, and you have so much money, and you have so much success, and friends, and people, you have everything more than enough. Do not forget who you were. Do not forget, David, that you are a simple guy that God just fell in love with and took from the field. You were nobody, and nobody even saw you and didn't even want to look at you. But Jesus found you. That is why, beloved, I keep my legs grounded, and I always remember who I was. I left these pictures on the most visible spot. I have it all on my computer, on my phone. All of my old identity. To not think of any point in my life, I'm like, oh, look at that, everything I've accomplished.
Под сосной. Стоп, дорогие, я умоляю вас. Я знаю, кто я, и я
I know who I am.
В своих глазах.
And in my eyes, I am nobody. Maybe in somebody else's eyes, but in God's eyes, I'm a son. But in our own eyes, that we need to remain slaves of God, not meaning anything, not deserving anything. We just do what we are told. That is why. That is the way you keep your heart tamed. You know, when I see two types of people who reach high places, one type of category, they melt in pridefulness. The others, if their heart is not healed, they begin to attack and pay back to people that hurt them. Those people who are not healed, as soon as they have a podium of 3.5 souls that tolerate them and cameras, they begin to rip them apart. Why? Because their hearts are not healed. Majority of problems come because they forget who they were. In that process, the shininess of their success blinds them, and they lose their simple heart. Never forget who you were and where God took you from. Always have a soft and obedient heart that is ready to be taught and to change every single day. Ask God for wisdom. Last point from the Bible, and we'll finish. Let's rise. Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard.